The first option is The Journey. Now, this is a book that takes the reader, as you might guess, on a journey from beginning to end. Memoir books are a great example of journey books, but nonfiction books can be too. The first book that I think of when I think of journey books is this book here, Blue Like Jazz. Right? It's a good book, but as we scroll down, we're going to see his table of contents, and we're going to see how he lays it all out. Right? It says on the very first dot point, beginnings, right? Beginnings, problems, magic, shifts, faith. And we can see how his thoughts kind of evolve. And if you read the book, it follows very much into a journey experience. Another book that's not a memoir, called Powers of Two. It organizes things a little differently, but it's still a journey. Now, here we're looking at sections instead of chapters because that's where the key structure takes place. Part one is meeting. Part two is confluence. Part three is dialects. Part four is distance. Part five is the infinite game. Part six is the interruption. So what he's describing here, and this book is about how creative people work in pairs or groups of two, is the journey from joining to eventually where they separate. It talks about everything from the Beatles to artists to dance groups to filmmakers who come together, follow this journey, follow this pattern, and then they eventually fail. That's how he set it up as his journey book. So if you have a personal story and you want to write a book about it, The Journey is a really good option. If you have a historical book, maybe you're looking at how computer programming evolved over the last 10 years and what it's going to be in the future, that might be a good journey book. You simply take people chronologically from beginning to end. Makes a lot of sense for either of those types of books. The second book type is the acronym. Now, this one is particularly effective in business contexts because, Tim, as you probably know, people in business love acronyms. They're like, I remember I started my first job and someone sent me an email that was like, hey, I need that SOP by EOD ASAP. I'm like, what is happening here? I have no idea what these acronyms are about, but they're cliche for a reason. I mean, they're used with people who talk about similar things all the time, and they need to shorten it down, so they just make an acronym. Where an acronym comes in handy as a writer is you can set up a premise or structure around an acronym in order to make it very memorable. And the two books that come to mind here are both by business writers. So this is Chip and Dan Heath. They've written a book called Decisive, and we're going to look inside and check the table of contents. And they don't make it obvious here in the table of contents, but they do in the first chapter. Look at the first letters of each section. W, R, A, P. Wrap. So their premise in this book is when you have a decision, you wrap yourself around it in order to make a better decision. Even if you don't remember like what all the wrap stands for, you remember that word, and it brings you back to the book. So an acronym is a good way to structure a book when you have some seemingly disconnected ideas to help you as a writer organize it and to help the reader digest it. Here's another book by Chip and Dan. Tim, I'm looking at this category and going, epistemology philosophy? This business book is over here. Clearly, they took the course and did some niche research themselves. But let's take a look at what this is, right? Let's take a look at the table of contents here. And we're going to look at, again, the parts. S for simple. This is the introduction. We're not counting it. And they say it here, right? Six principles to success. And they kind of cheated here because they didn't have an extra S. But it goes simple, unexpected, concrete, credible, emotional, and then stories. So they have success as a way to remember how to tell a good story. Ultimately, this is a book to help people get their ideas to stick. And all they have to remember is success and go, okay, now I remember how to tell a good story. So that's the acronym. Great for nonfiction, great for business context. And now we'll move on to the classroom. The classroom is exactly what it sounds like. And I try to keep this super simple so it's easy to remember, right? If you write a classroom book, that means you're teaching a topic from beginning to end. So let me kick it to Tim just to shake things up a little bit. If you were writing a classroom book, vamp with me here. Let's say you're teaching someone about Bitcoin 101. Name me a few things that you might have to teach them in order for them to understand it.
Yeah, so things I would need to teach is Bitcoin mining, so how the network is secured. I would need to teach them how to actually buy Bitcoin because you can't do that with a bank. I would need to teach them just really high-level basics around cryptography because that's, again, another reason that the network is secure. I would have to teach them about the difference between centralized and decentralized. So obviously, Google and Facebook being centralized and things like Bitcoin being decentralized. So they're probably the main things that you would need to start with, Todd.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I'm hearing that as an outsider. I'm going, okay, I think maybe this decentralized, centralized dichotomy, maybe that needs to go first because that lays the foundation for why you would want to learn the rest of this, right? But when you're thinking like a classroom, Tim, that's exactly what you do. You'd say, okay, I need to teach someone this subject. Where does it start, and what do they need to learn to become where I am? Right? And that's a little different, obviously, than the acronym or the journey. Doesn't mean you can't write Bitcoin books with these other two types. It's just a personal choice and what feels easiest to organize your pile. Right? That's where the creativity of writing comes into play. So with classroom books, I'm looking at Dave Ramsey, who's a huge financial educator here in where I live in Tennessee. But his book is clearly a classroom. So he goes super saving, relating with money, cash flow planning, dumping debt, credit shoes. Okay, buyer beware. What he's doing here is teaching you this in order. In order to understand the pinnacle point, you need to understand super saving, right? Very simple. The key thing about a classroom is you need to read a book in order to really understand the end, right? I need to understand Bitcoin mining before I understand how secure Bitcoin is, before I understand how to buy Bitcoin. Maybe not. Maybe I just buy it on a whim. But seeing as I like to do my research, I like to find out what's up first. Here's another book, not in the money genre, in the self-help. You are a badass. Here we go. Coming back to that badass theme, Tim. I know you'd like that. And we look at the table of contents again, how you got this way. It's teaching you about your past. It's teaching you how to embrace who you are now. Love the one you is. I know you're. What am I? How to tap into mother lode. So you can see the escalation through the parts of the book because she's teaching you step by step by step how to make it happen. You could probably argue that you don't have to read these in order, but that's how she's organized it because in order to get over your BS, you probably have to understand what it is first. Understand how you got that way. That's the classroom book. And then finally, we have the tried and true, the much hated by some writers, but much loved by myself and Tim and Moses, who wrote the Ten Commandments, which is the listicle. The listicle works so well as a book title. I would recommend a listicle if you're looking at your pile of ideas. And you're not quite sure how to organize it, when in doubt, you can fall back on the listicle. A book that's supposed to be a theory of all writing can become 28 Tips to Be a Better Writer by next week. A tip about, or a book about, a classroom book about the history of Bitcoin can become three things to know before you invest in cryptocurrency. or if it's a book, maybe it's 10 things to know, right? The listicle is such a great catch-all title that there's something about it. It naturally grabs us as human beings to, we have to know. We have to know what the 10 things are. And as a writer, it's amazing because it allows you to organize your ideas in a easy and digestible and a non-linear way. You don't have to put them in order. You can just say, here's the deal. There are 7 of these things. 7 is exactly the number I think about when I think about listicle books, because I think about Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Dynamite book, always selling well, listicle. Here's James Altucher, another favorite of myself and Tim. 40 Alternatives to College. He wrote it a while back, wrote a bunch of blog posts about it. Why? Because it did very well. And I see something else on this page that makes me smile, because this book is only 52 pages, right? James is following the course model for sure. And then finally, we have this wonderful book, 100 Side Hustles, Unexpected Ideas for Making Extra Money Without Quitting Your Day Job. Chris Guillebeau, again, another listicle. He's up the ante to go all the way to 100, but you know exactly what you're getting when you get this book. And as a writer, you know exactly what you're trying to do when you decide to write a listicle. You go, hey, I'm going to make, I don't know, 25 ways to take care of your cat. You go, okay, now I got to find 25 ways in the posts that I've written or in my ideas. Those are the big 4, right? The journey, the acronym, the classroom, and the listicle. Make sure you also check out my full outlining course. We've added it as a bonus to this course because we love to take care of people who take our courses. And that'll give you a little more context and a few more examples around each one of these things and help you cultivate that outline more.